The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive ourselves, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And your friend answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though your friend will not get up and give anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God above the Holy Spirit give to those who ask of them?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Prior to moving to Alaska, I served a congregation in the Cherokee Nation in rural Oklahoma. I also served as a chaplain to a nonprofit that raised American Indian kids from different tribes and nations. And it was sort of like a group foster home setting. They came to live in the community for different reasons, some because they were legally in the foster care system, some were because they had gotten in trouble in the big city and it was easier to send them to our tiny town of 500 people, and some because there were some adults in their lives that were maybe not such a good influence, and so one adult, usually a grandma, would send them to come live at the nonprofit. My responsibility was to be their pastor, their chaplain. Now, the nonprofit and the congregation were separate entities, but the kids of the nonprofit worshiped in the congregation every Sunday, and I was responsible for their faith formation, or their sort of Wednesday night kind of programming around faith and education. I would attempt to teach some faith or theological concepts, but the kids that were with us were not necessarily thrilled about spending their time with me doing this sort of faith formation work on a Wednesday night. In fact, this group of teenagers would rather be anywhere else in the world than hanging out with Pastor Meredith on a nice summer night. And part of it was many of them were raised in a Baptist or evangelical setting. And so even from a young age, I had kids tell me, "Well, you're not a real pastor because you're a woman." And I think my favorite was when one kid told me I wasn't a good preacher because I didn't yell and sweat enough. Yeah, Oklahoma is a different beast, y'all. So I would have to use rather creative tactics to get to them, right? I did whatever I could to make things click for these teenagers or operate in their realm of knowledge or somehow hold their attention at least for 45 minutes on a Wednesday night. Now, one season, we worked our way through the order of service that you have in your bulletins, right? The liturgy, the steps that we do every week that you know without a doubt, unless Pastor Meredith has lost her mind, we're going to do some of the same things every week. And when it came time to discuss the prayer of the day, that prayer that Twyla led us in, I taught them about the traditional collect form. Now, the word collect comes from Latin, and it means to gather. So the idea is that you start worship with the prayer of the day, this gathering, because it's the first thing to sort of gather folks together and pray as one voice before you worship together. So it's called the collect. Now, the collect prayer is still the form that the prayer of the day is written in, and it has five parts. There's a recipe to how you write a collect prayer. The first is that you greet God, right? So you can even look at your bulletin and see, like, what does this say? But you greet God, right? You acknowledge, you say, hey, God, right? You somehow address God. You'd say who you're talking to. The second is that you name who God is, right? The holy God of all, or most merciful God, or I was going to see if I had the prayer, what it was. And then it's somehow the relationship that God has to the world. The third is a question, right? You ask God for something. And the fourth is this kind of aspiration, or what your hoped outcome of interacting with God will be. And the fifth is to thank God in this sort of, you know, triune form, right? A lot of times God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatever, like acknowledging the conclusion of the prayer. Now, trying to convince some angsty teenage boys to use an ancient Latin recipe for praying took some effort. And I told them that if they would write prayer petitions in this ancient collect form, that I would pray their prayers as the prayers of the people the following Sunday. So, inspired by my excellent teaching, the teenagers went off into small groups and they wrote their prayer petitions using this ancient Latin form. Now, fast forward to the following Sunday, I stand before the congregation, invite them into a time of prayer. I raise my arms in that ancient Iran's position, and with the heads bowed of everyone in the congregation that morning, I begin to pray. What's up, homie? The teenage boys snickered proudly. They were so proud of themselves that their pastor addressed God as homie. And to say, what's up, homie? Now, the kids laughed like you all did. Some of the elders popped their heads up from prayer, very concerned about this, what ridiculous pastor was doing. So I took a deep breath and I continued with the rest of their prayer petition that said, thanks for dinner, bro. Give us good hoops tomorrow. Peace out. Now, I'd like to think those ornery teenagers who have now become college students and employees and husbands and fathers even, maybe even preachers who yell and sweat more than I do, that they'll remember this prayer and being invited to pray in the language that they spoke to each other in, because they called each other homie, right? That made sense to them. Because figuring out how to pray, how to talk to God, this mysterious and bizarre divine entity, is incredibly difficult. Like Jesus' disciples, the people who had made it their whole life to hang out with him and to learn his teachings, his message of divine love for the world that would involve his death and resurrection, and a multitude of other fantastical things, those very disciples still needed help talking to God. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And they beg him. They say, help us, Jesus. We're not sure what to say or how to say it. Which is one of the single most common things that I think we can resonate with. Help us, Jesus. We don't know what to say or how to do it. Even if you were born and raised in a church, or your family prayed together before bed every night, or you prayed over meals, there still comes a point in our lives when it is a struggle to pray, a challenge to talk to God, this overwhelming task of not knowing what to say or how to say it. And prayer has become cheapened, right? Like when we don't know what to say to somebody who's hurting, we just say, I'll pray for you, right? It's kind of this cheap acknowledgement, and then we move on with our day. Or the holy, my thoughts and prayers are with, insert the name of whatever catastrophe is happening right now, right? And then we move on. We maybe change our social media picture and keep going. And it's empty words, because we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to address some of these big, out-of-world, kind of insane things going on. We don't know how to vocalize these things to the holy and divine creator who designed the world and yet still had time and energy to design each one of us. And as we experience heartbreak after heartbreak and crisis after crisis, we do not have the words. Lord, teach us how to pray. And not just by repeating words over and over again or offering the same expressions that maybe we've heard others say, but by wrestling deep in our guts and begging, pleading, knocking, and seeking God to ask with clear and specific words for God to show up in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives. Help us. God of all, feed us. With literal food, right? Our daily bread, that's the most basic of basic. It's not God feed us with the most awesome feast, right? God feed us with the most basic sustenance to survive. That sort of backpacker's meal or the pilot bread or the crackers that are at the end of the day, right? This is not a fancy feast, but feed us our daily bread. God of all, forgive us. We are a hot mess, and we are trying to figure out how to love one another and love ourselves, but we're struggling because love and forgiveness are hard. Help us. God of all, free us. We are surrounded by people and things that wish to criticize, tear down, accuse, and destroy from the inside out. Help. Praying, whether using the Lord's Prayer or saying, "What's up, homie?" or just crying out help in your deepest despair, is a way to connect our beings to the divine. It's our active way of reaching out, of knocking, of seeking, of persisting, even when it feels like nothingness. It's not something that can be done with a quick praying for you, but it's a deep yearning of your soul to connect to the Holy One, the unknown of the divine. We already prayed the prayer of the day together. We'll say the prayers of the people in a little bit, and we'll pray for people that we know and love, and people that we don't know and that we don't love. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer and maybe another one or two before we finish our time together this morning. But the idea about behind praying isn't to have perfect words that match the paper or the Bible or what grandma taught you or what you think your friends want to hear. But praying is the search. It's seeking. It's about taking our energy and seeking this relationship with God in our lives. And whether you pray in the car ride home or over your lunch or before you head out to the river to fish today, or for your health, or someone you love, the act of prayer isn't a one-size-fits-all, or somehow a magical set of words to unlock the door, because the door is already unlocked. God is already to be found. Whether because we use pretty churchy words, or maybe less formal words, the ones that we talk to our buddies with, or a painful gasp with just the word help. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Thanks be to God. Amen.